Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Naked Professors podcast. This is a roundtable conversation with Rick and Mason, two amazing men who both work as coaches now, but both, as you will have heard in the first one, both who had stories. They came from very different places, put it that way. Their story is very authentic, it's very real, it's very relatable. I certainly related just in listening to them and hearing actually their truth of how they lived in their past and why they live that way. And it's that we're really diving into this week. This really filled me up. You know, I feel so lucky that I get to do this podcast because, I don't know, when you host a safe space and no one's distracted, no one's doing anything, we put our phones away and we just sit and the focus and the energy is on the conversation, beautiful things unravel. We really got into it in this particular part of the conversation. We really dived into understanding why men behave how they do. Why did Rick and Mason behave how they did in their past, even though it wasn't their truth, even though it wasn't the man they wanted to be and who they are today. So why did they behave like they did in their past? And I did too as well, you know. There's a lot of men who are lost right now. The world teaches us to be that way, in my opinion. And whilst men are getting a tough rap, but we deserve it because we do behave that way. But I also think it's really important that we look beneath that as well and try and understand why men behave as they do. And that's the purpose for this conversation. And that's what I've done here with Rick and Mason. And yeah, I hope this conversation brings alive some understanding as the journey that men go on. It's really beautiful for me, really impactful. It really allowed me to see Mason and Rick and to understand them more deeply, understand what their drive was in being a man. I hope it does the same for you. I hope it's relatable. I hope it brings alive some more understanding, some more compassion for masculinity. And with that, I hope we can become more one, that there can be more unity and across the world for us all, men and women as one, more respect and more love. That's my hope. I guess it sounds kind of cheesy, but I have a philosophy that says lean into the cheese these days. I don't want to avoid it. So yeah, there is a bit of cheese in this episode. Mason, Rick and I dive into love and we share ourselves. I hope that shines through. I hope you enjoy it. Over to Rick and Mason. Do both of you still see men who are kind of following your path almost, whilst they might be kind of thinking they're smashing it in this field? You know, in Rick's case, they might be kind of like, you know, they're getting validation as in rugby or in sport in some capacity, and that, you know, they are the toughest guy, no one messes with them. And Mason, in terms of being like perhaps the leader of the gang, or, you know, getting into fighting and whatever, being the leading sort of guy in the drug scene or whatever, and thinking in some capacity or presenting this image that they are smashing it. But you're able to kind of look and go, yeah, but I see a lost soul now, you know, in a different way because of your own experiences. Do you see men like that? I don't know if either of you want to start. Rick, I guess back to you. I don't know, do you see men in that capacity now around you?
Yeah, I think you can understand it in a sense, the youngsters coming through, because you know, whether we like it or not, want to accept it, we are at that age, we're navigating who we are in the world. So part of that is, I guess, part of the process. But part of that process is your unawareness to needing strong male role models. And it's what happens is that I think when I notice it is the when you have unaware elder men that are in roles as role models for them younger men, I find it sometimes frustrating because I want to get hold of them men and be like, God, guys, we need to wake up. Do you know how much esteem that we're being held in. And these guys are looking at you and you're repeating a cycle. So I do see it. I do see in ex-rugby guys I know, and even fathers that I've come across who are similar age to me. And it's like they wanna let go. They wanna dip in to feel like we feel, but it's like, oh shit, I can't. Like, if I do, I don't know who I'm gonna find, and I'm scared of what everyone's gonna think of me. I can think of a couple of guys straight off the bat of my head where I look at that and I'm like, God, I wish you just let go. You know, like, I go to the gym and a couple of them I bump into, and if I like sit there and eat silly things, like I might just come in for a day and do a gentle workout, and they'll still come over. And you can see that when we start, everything's nice and soft, and they still find it really weird because I'm quite touchy, and like I love physical contact. Like I love cuddling, I love like putting my hand on someone and stuff like that. And a lot of guys are really uncomfortable with it. They loosen off. And then if halfway through a workout, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to stop it there. And straight away, the guard come like, what? You're going to stop? Oh, you pussy. I'm like, we're 40 years old now. Like, come on. I've got a bit more self-love for myself than walking out of here on my knees, you know? And I know it's very simple, but for men, the physical realm in violence, whether it's towards yourself or others, is almost like a barometer. That if you're not willing to put yourself through something disgusting or put that on someone else, then you're inferior. And I guess for me, like, it is looking on, and I'm more concerned and get more frustrated at the guys who are our age that have gone through this and are now in them positions where they're coaching youngsters or mentoring youngsters, and because they're unaware of themselves, we've got another generation coming through. We're going to go through what we went through, and we can stop it. But that comes down to a lot of awareness. And like we've said, like, we are aware enough that we've done a lot of work personally on ourselves, and not a lot of men are open to that sort of discomfort at the moment.
It's a different way of being, isn't it? When you're living for validation as opposed to when you're living to be your truth. Right. And when you're living for validation, like I've just heard from both of you, and of course my path too as well, but in different ways and nowhere near as powerful story. Like, we do stuff that's just not true to our hearts. It's just not true to who we are as a person. But we get validation, we get acceptance, we get applause, we get the fist bumps, we get all the stuff. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that feeds something. And for me, it feeds ego, you know, but that's short-lived, right? It's short. It's an empty existence. As soon as it comes in, it's gone again. And then we need more of it. We need more of it. And where does that chase end? You know, you guys have both just told really powerful stories that chase, you know, can end in pretty bad places. It's a scratch that we can never itch, if you like, you know? And I just see it so often in so many men now, so many men having been through it, not in a patronizing way, but just, it's just like you say, Rick, I just want them to let go, because you can do everything. I know it's such a cliche, you can do everything, but if you're not in touch and you're not in tune with your truth, like for you two, your truth was very different to your reality. The way you're living is not who you really were. You can get all the validation, but if you don't feel it yourself, you're not really true to yourself, then it doesn't feel good. Does it resonate to you too, Mason? Are you seeing people?
Yeah. Yeah, luckily not in my immediate social circle. Friend of friends and people, like using the gym as an example, I go back when I move back to London and see Empowers, and our gym goes, oh yeah, you're doing all that coaching motivational shit now, aren't you? I'm like, well, kind of, yeah. And then they say, yeah, I've kind of been thinking about that, or, you know, I'm going to start meditating, and it's their way to try and communicate and try and find that middle ground. And then I'll just instantly share my story. I'll just hit it with a bomb. I'll say, yeah, mate, I was fucking sad. If something didn't change, I don't know where I would have ended up. You know, it was a struggle trying to keep up. And they'll be like, yeah, yeah. And I know it's getting to them. And then they'll share a kind of story, sort of like, oh yeah, I broke up with my girlfriend. Do you get what I mean? So I know that it's there. In terms of, I'm an optimist. So I'm thinking that all the youngsters coming in through their early 20s and beyond, this is a conversation that's being had nowadays. Take us back 10 years, 20 years, it wasn't happening. If it was, it was so far away from what I was seeing, you know. So I am confident that these conversations are becoming more widespread, and the youngsters are going to actually say, hold on, being myself is probably a bigger thing to do than for me to try and fit in. You know, because like what I was saying before, I always knew that I didn't want to be in the circle that I was in. I always felt uncomfortable, but it didn't stop me from doing the things that I felt forced to do. And I know that I'm not alone. I know that there's, if you used to ask a par, I think most members say, yeah, there's times when they've just been doing things to fit in, if they were to be honest and really kind of connect with their authentic selves. But yeah, in saying that, like a good example, so I started meditating 8 years ago and I was still going, I was still fighting in my gym and everything else, then my called me hippie, right? And I was like, yeah, cool, sweet. Because I was still me, do you know what I mean? I'm still like a dude. He goes, oh, you fucking hippie, you're going mad on us. Now, as on a stag do, not last year, the year before, one of my pals used to really get at me for it the most. He was swimming and he came up to me and goes, mate, talk to me about this meditation. And in my head, I was thinking, ah, as a kid, you used to take the piss out of me. And I just spoke up, goes, yeah, mate, it's a game changer, man. It just helps you get you in a better headspace to start your day and everything else. And yeah, and it's nice because I'm actually starting to see the impact that I have had on my pals, you know, because they've seen me from literally the two extremes. The geezer that's just been out doing X amount of cocaine and fighting bouncers. Now this guy meditating with monks in Java, you know, just so they've seen the transition. But not only that, I think they've noticed how more at peace I am, you know, how calm that I've become. And it's an energy thing, right? You can't notice that. I can't remember the energy, the space that I was in, but I'm pretty sure that I was getting off some weird frequencies, man. I'm surprised I even had any mates. But yeah, so not so much, but I know there are people still going through their shit.
I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this question, but I'd love to try. Mason, what's going on with, let's say, a 15-year-old guy? Let's just take an example, make someone up. 15-year-old guy is living in a council estate. He's pushing drugs. He's causing violence. He's causing damage. He's hurting people. There's all sorts of stuff going on that society says, quite rightly, is bad. You know, it's not acceptable. It's bad, right? Can we just try and get a little bit into the mindset of what's going on? Because I'd love to, especially in terms of what Rick shared so much about validation, you know, in terms of like, well, ultimately for me, that is there a feeling of just feeling unsafe and like this voice in the head saying, I've got to do this stuff because if I don't, I'm not safe. I'm not accepted. I don't want to put the words into your mouth, but can we try and get into that?
Yeah, I'm actually, last year I've done some work with some kids from the States. Like, it's literally not knowing there's anything else. And people can say, how can you not know? You see it on the TV. But yeah, that's on the TV. You see footballers, yeah, they're footballers. You see artists, yeah, they're artists. They're not me. You know, I'm here in this estate. And how I make money is by selling drugs to the crackheads. And this is what it is. You know, so from a very young age, they've kind of accepted that as their role. Once that's your identity, if you're not lucky enough, like I say, I'm lucky enough because I kind of felt I was out of place, even though that was my whole upbringing. I kind of feel grateful that I did have that. I know people that haven't. You know, I lost count of the amount of mates I buried before I was 21. That's fucked up. You know, that's not cool. And I know that there's an ignorance to the possibilities that are out there. And I don't want to start getting into all the, like, it's systematic. It really is. It's designed this way. It really is designed this way. And until something happens from the top, bottom, it's going to need people like me and you guys to keep spreading these words and getting them into places where they need to be heard.
Do you have sympathy, like, for a 15-year-old kid, let's say, who's caught up in this stuff? How do you feel about them?
I get frustrated. I get frustrated and sometimes I need to get off my high horse, you know, because when I was that age, I was very much in the thick of it. And if somebody came to me back then, I would probably told them to jog on as well. I don't know. I'm just, guess it frustrates me because I feel that there is a lot more opportunity now than what there was when I was growing up. And when people don't take it, then, but on the same side, on the other side of the same coin, there are kids doing good stuff coming out. It's not all doom and gloom, what we're led to believe. But sympathy, I can understand it. It saddens me to know that the kids are going through that. Do I blame the parents? Yeah. But it's just a big conversation, isn't it? It's just a big conversation that could just take you in so many different directions, the cause, the roots, the solutions. You know, it's just one of those ones where sometimes I feel we have to pick our battles, you know, and we have to do what we can when we can do it. Because if we don't do that, we'll end up driving ourselves absolutely insane, trying to fight a fight that's difficult to win.
I guess where I'm going with this, which was unintentional, if I'm honest, but obviously in the world at the moment, men are getting quite a lot, not in the world, in the UK particularly, I don't know how it is in the world, but in the UK, men are under attack a little bit. And, you know, you understand that, and the stats present, you know, how much damage men have caused, and, you know, the stats are the stats, you know. But I guess I hope in sitting in here and listening to Rick, your story, and Mason, your story, it's like there is not that we can ever have compassion for bad behavior, but there are sometimes, like Mason, you didn't choose to be a bad person. Oh, obviously you did make choices that made you do some bad things, but you, like, there was no education. There was no, you know, you've clearly got a great heart, you know, sitting here, you know, listening to you, there's so much truth and honesty to you, like there is in you, Rick, and all of us, you know, who are doing the work, you know, we feel that, and that's what's beautiful and brings us together. But there was times when society led us unconsciously, like we've just said, like Rick, to you, for you to be absolutely all about competition and beating the man around you, being better than them. You know, whatever you had to take, whether it's blood coming out of your nose to train, no one will do better than you, you know. And obviously, Mason, in everything that you went through growing up that way. But no one's looking at understanding. And I know that for me, it is timing, Rick. And I know we spoke about, you know, we exchanged the messages about this, that at the moment, you know, this is a different conversation, but there is a lot of women's voices being heard and men are being under attack. But I hope just in showing these stories, there might be a little bit of understanding that it's as men, we are showing a path of, like, challenging behaviors of what we've got to be, you know, whether it comes from our dad or society or the people around us, it's everywhere, you know, it's everywhere. And it's not as simple as each individual having a straight choice of being a good person, almost. I don't know, Rick, what do you feel?
Oh, but the first word that just came up in my head was destructive. We're so given a path of destruction, like, in every sense, like destructive emotions, destructive actions, destructive behaviours. Like, it was the first word that popped up when you said about, you know, we are definitely given a path of why we follow what we follow. And that was the first word that came up. It was just that instant insight. I mean, I've been part of that. You know, like, I was in a relationship in my 20s. And I look back and I'm like, wow, are you saying that, Ben? And to know what you're alluding to. And I was like, shit. Like, I had one of the moments. It's like, God, I was not nice. Like, you know, because of the validation. I was in a relationship and cheated. And when that relationship ended, like, I went to counselling and broke down. Because I was like, who am I? Like, what? I remember distinctly saying to the counsellor, what kind of man am I that lies and cheats to another person that leaves them in a place where that she's probably not going to trust another man because of what I did? And I just remember where I was in my life then. I just wanted drama all the time. That when I found peace, it was like, oh, shit, I need to find more drama. I need to go and, like, at the time, it was like, what else can I throw myself into to create some sort of, like, I don't know, some sort of throne that I can put myself on for people to look at, to validate. Who else can I sleep with? Who else can I, like, what other activity do I need to put myself in to create a busyness of just more destruction in my life? At the time, like, I don't know if we see it. Like, you know, you said that, Ben, like, we are given a very, very clear path by men before us, who probably men before them, of this fucking physical and emotional destructiveness. And not only do we bring to ourselves, but to all those around us as well. Yeah. Yeah, that's what initially came up, mate.
No, also something that's came up to me as well, like when you said the men before us, sort of like some people are giving men hard times right now, but it was the same men that built the map that they're living by for us as well. Do you know what I mean? It was the same men that kind of made the system the way it is for women, to make it difficult for women that we're living by. So we're all falling victims from the men before us, you know, about how people should be treated equally, what it means to be a man, the praise for the man, the praise for the woman. It was the same guys that have made us in this position now. So when you're talking about bringing women, I think we both have a big play to support each other for what's going on. And if there is a men versus women thing, that's, again, that's coming from, like, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, Ben, but there was one time just before lockdown, I was in the social environment and I was talking to someone. I was like, what do you do? I go, I coach. I was like, oh, you go. I go, well, I just coach men. Some woman goes, why are you just coaching men? Women have got so many things going on. Women have got this, blah, 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 blah. I goes, I hear you. I hear you. I'm not taking it away from you, but that's just not where I'm at. You know, because men, they goes, oh, but men's got it. Men got it sorted. It's easy to be a man. It's easy to be. I think, okay, well, if that's how you are looking at life, looking at men, then it's kind of reinforcing the fact that men feel that they have to be strong because everybody thinks that all the other men are strong and they haven't got anything to worry about. And that's just not the truth. You know, if everybody thinks that it's easy to be a man, then when a man isn't finding it easy, he's going to be thinking, am I a man at all? Why am I finding this so difficult? Because everybody else is finding things easy. You know, so I feel that it's an old school narrative that's affecting both the men and the women in this day and age, that we need to do our best to kind of try and, I don't know, reinvent, you know, like what I say, I'm a thing, redefine what it means to be a man, you know, and what I like to say, I do honestly think there's strength in vulnerability, and being soft and being strong can coexist in the same person. And that's where a lot of guys fall short. Because if they say, do you know what, I'm sad, I'm struggling, I'm worrying about money, I'm worrying about my partner, I'm worried, that instantly takes away from your masculinity, but that's just not true.
There's a lot to discuss, isn't there? There's a lot to discuss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Vernon Kay.
And I'm Holly Mackay.
And we're here to tell you about our brand new podcast, Parenting Past the Pandemic, brought to you by Aviva.
Yes, we're going to be delving into a whole heap of parenting topics, from the generational gap to online safety.
And some of the big topics which have come up through the pandemic, such as helping to manage our kids' anxieties and how we can affect the world they'll grow into.
Parenting Past the Pandemic. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
What I do want to say is that I hear you, Mason, totally, in terms of, like, you know, we live in a society that, you know, wants men to bury their emotions at a young age. You know, unconsciously, we're shown that all the time, right? You know, as early as I can remember, I remember thinking, you know, I can't show emotions. There's going to be no acceptance, no validation for me. I'm not going to thrive as a boy if I'm going to be showing my emotions. I always say it, but it was from as early as I can remember, it was much cooler to be the tough guy, the bully, than it was to be the one who's bullied, right? That was what I just saw naturally in society. If we're creating that narrative, that picture, at that age, you know, good luck for when that same boy grows up at 18 with that same story in place, thinking he can't be emotional. He's got to be strong and tough if he wants to thrive. And all these things, these stories that are already taking on at such a young age, these are the formative years. This is when we're shaping who we are as a person. So it really starts for me at such a young age. We've got to shift everything at such a young age that boys can really embrace all of who they are, you know, and they can like whatever color it is they like. They can play with whatever thing they want to play. They can cry. They can laugh. They can do whatever it is that is inside of them in that moment. If we try and condition them to be the way that society does condition us at this stage, we are going to produce men who are going to cause violence and destruction and not know themselves and be lost to their values, who are going to be disconnected from their hearts, disconnected from natural human emotions. And I like, it's a really hard conversation because I have huge compassion for so many women who have suffered at the hands of men who won't be able to sit and have this conversation that we're having right now. But I also have so much compassion, Rick, for the man that you were through your teenage years and in your early 20s, and Mason, for who you were as a teenage boy going through everything you went, that was turning to drugs and seeing violence as the only way out. I have compassion for you in those spaces, even though you were causing damage. And even I did this, you know, I wasn't unfortunate in my upbringing that I didn't see the same things that around me. So my mum was always incredibly kind and compassionate. I had a solid family that did keep me, but I still did things wrong. I still made mistakes, and I have compassion for myself that I made mistakes in that time then, because I know that I'm a good at heart. And I really truly believe this. You know, I did a talk in prison the year before last, and I saw prisoners but who had great hearts. They really did. And I'm not saying they didn't make mistakes, but I really do think that the thing with men right now is, yeah, we're making load of mistakes. Underneath it, if we can get there, and Rick, I know you've done Men Without Masks, and you would have seen this unravel in front of you as well, like I have my involvement in it. Every man has got a heart when they're given the space. You know, I truly believe that. It's just in society, it's rare. It's rare that we see it, and that disconnection is a really dangerous thing. It's hard to share that right now, as I say, because I know so it's very hard for people to be able to look beyond the behavior that so many men share, because it's caused so much pain. But it's for me, it's also an important conversation, and that's why I'm really grateful to sit and be able to hear your stories and for people to be able to hear that. I don't know if either of you want to expand on that, or if we want to start talking about change.
I think that leads quite nicely into change, because it's sort of like when you said it, I was going to ask you, yeah, but how do we get there? To the average man, how do we get there? How do we poke it? How do we get them see what it is that they've got in there and how much value it adds to their lives? Because, yeah, the guys that reach out to us, they're already there. You know, they've already realized that, you know what, something needs to change, because what I'm experiencing just isn't cool. But what about those that aren't seeing it? You know, what about those that are so knee-deep in their man that they're finding it difficult to do anything else, do anything different, no matter how they feel? You know, I'm sure you guys must have spoke, you probably spoke to men that goes, this is just how it is. This is just how it is. It just is the way it is. And it's like, wow, like, what do I do? What do we do? I think that's the question that I'd like to ask both of you.
I want to tee this up for you, for Rick, if I can, because what I did hear you say there, Mason, is that when we are aware of our pain, or we're willing to accept it, now we've got a chance of changing it. You know, we can heal, we can't heal, we can't feel, or we won't feel. And what I'm seeing in generally in most men is that's the last thing that they want to do is admit that they're in pain, because that is weakness. And yet, I think so many men are in pain, you know, on the inside. And that doesn't have to sound dramatic, you know, but ultimately what I'm saying with that is that they're disconnected to their truth, and that's like, that hurts internally. They might be able to tick all the boxes, and they might be able to go and have all the fun, you know, present all the stuff. But inside, how's the relationship with themselves? And I, generally speaking, I think men don't have a great relationship with themselves, but they are able to paper over it with all the stuff. How do you hear it, Rick? What do you think?
I totally agree. I think we've spoken about this before, Ben. I had the realization about 2 months ago of the competition breeds disconnection, that you're never connected with yourself when you're constantly in competition mode or comparing. And I think for most men will go, oh, you know, I'm not in competition. But then if we look at a life, it is like hold on a minute, mate. You know, like the bigger car, the horses, the stables you're buying, you want to find your identity, and you're using the excuse of, oh, well, I've invested in this, 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 and this. Really, we're getting back into this dick measuring contest. So we're creating an inward competition again, which means we're disconnecting again. I think, Mace, that you said the question, how do we do it? It's such a broad subject is how do we do it? I mean, for us three, I generally believe that we've just got to keep sharing. We've got to keep being vulnerable. We've got to keep sharing the story. I don't think it's like a one thing that we do. I do sit there and believe that we have to allow other men to see the strength in our vulnerability, to see our softness. And that encourages that domino effect. You know, like you said, Mace, the guy in the soup when you were swimming was like, oh, tell me about this meditation stuff then. You know, little things like that is what starts to create the bigness. And I think, I don't know how many times people say to me, like, oh, Rick, you're into that hippie shit now. And it's like, no, it's not. You know, like, I'm just in connection with myself now. And I think, like you said, Mace, like, I really went down the route of, initially, I tried to become that hippiness that I'm not going to swear, I'm not going to be myself, I'm not going to, you know, like, call out bullshit, because I was like, oh no, people don't want to hear it. So I tried to mold myself into this man that was like all soft and, yeah, it's all good, you know, don't worry, everything's neutral. And then as soon as I changed it, it was like, do you know what? I am very affectionate and I'm very loving, but I think if men can be like, wow, I'm at peace with myself, I can be loving and I can be what my definition of a, you know, I'm talking as in a third person, what my own definition of what a man is, does have action taken, but it also has a softness and love. And as soon as I think we can help by portraying that, that it is all encompassing, it's all whole, we kind of inadvertently give permission for other men to put their hands up and go, oh, yes, like, I'd like to get in contact with myself as well.
It's true. And like what Ben said, is talking about men realizing that it's going to be hard to heal if you don't realize you hurt. That's something I've got that on my WhatsApp. So that when everybody messages me, it says, how can you expect to heal if you don't? How do you expect to heal if you don't even know you're hurting? But then I think people being so conditioned to not even know what the pain is. And I used to do talks. I say, what is the pain? I'm okay. I go, no, mate, you're short-tempered. You're frustrated, you're stressed, you're constantly trying to busy yourself. You can't sit 5 minutes by yourself with your thoughts. You're in pain. You're hurting. That's what you want to change. Yeah, I'm just busy. I'm just hurting. I'm just at the... So no. Look at it for what it is. You know, I always say that, like, your emotions, because how often are you happy? What do you mean? Like, well, life's not this. There's always an excuse, you know, but it's trying to, I don't know how to say educate because it sounds condescending, but just try to bring awareness to what actually pain looks like, how it manifests in the day-to-day life. Because if you can say, mate, imagine a life when you didn't get pissed off that somebody just stepped on your toe on rush hour. Imagine a life when you didn't get frustrated when your kids were making noise. Well, you're going to at some point, but do you know what I mean? And I think it's just about bringing these everyday things that people have grown to accept of themselves as normal, and realize, no, you don't have to have that. But it's trying to communicate that in a way where it's like, you know what, I don't want to feel like that anymore. Because too many people have accepted that. Like, a guy caught me off guard a few years ago, a year ago. He a physio. And I went to get a massage, get some work done. He goes, how are you? I go, yeah, I'm good. He goes, how are you on a scale of 1 to 10? I said, oh, shit, today I'm probably about 4 or 5. You know, so we've accepted being a 4 or 5 as being good. If life isn't terrible, then we say we're doing good. We've forgotten what it's like to be great, and it's not even on our agenda. It's not even a goal anymore. You know, how are you? Not bad. No, that's not what I want. I want you to be good. I want you to feel great. Why have you stopped trying to be that? You know, and again, it's something that we've all started to normalize. You ask those people, how are you? Yeah, not bad. How are things? Yeah, things all right. You know, but nobody really wants to connect with how they really feel. And as long as that keeps happening, no one's going to ever try to be better. And I always say, you don't have to be broken to be better. So that's another thing that I feel that it's the work that we've got to do. You know?
And what, mate, like we just said there was, I wrote this on a post yesterday, was being broken. Like when people would say, oh, I'm not broken. So, well, they say I'm not broken or I am broken. No one's ever broken and no one can ever be fixed because we work perfectly to what came before us, you know? And it's funny you say that because when I've run men's circles, I reach out and men say they want to get involved. They're like, oh no, I'm not a victim. Like, I'm not down in the dumps. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not going through a hard time. So give someone else the space to take. I'm like, no, it's not about that. It's about community. It's about cultivating like, and nurturing more of yourself. You don't have to be what you feel is a victim or go through a crap time. Like, it's about being part of a community and being able to talk openly and make bonds and find a new way of being. I think men, we're so good at creating like disguises of avoidance. But we don't think we are. You know, we're masters at that.
It's funny, if you said to the men, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the pub and talk about stuff. But yeah, sweet. Gonna go to a house or thing and sit in a circle and just talk about stuff. It's like, oh no, fuck that. You know, it's like, what's going on, boys?
So there we go. And I think that was such a beautiful, poignant end to hear Rick talk about how we aren't broken, you know, and how we don't need fixing. All of us have got beautiful resources inside of us. It's just a case of reconnecting to them, reconnecting to our truth of who we really are. It's a really difficult path. It's the hardest path that we go on. It's a path that Rick and Mason have gone on. It's a path that I've gone on, but most people don't. It's not easy. I know there's a lot of people who are trying as well, and they're not yet managing to make the breakthroughs that Rick and Mason do. And I know that can be triggering as well. And I see you, those people who are trying and trying and showing up. And it's really important I recognize that. And yeah, anyone for me who's willing to show up and do the work that was discussed in this episode and previous episodes, I have so much love and respect for you. So thank you. Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for being the best that you can be in this moment. And I see the journey you're on. It's beautiful. And to Rick and Mason, thank you for sharing this conversation with me. Thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for allowing us all to see you and understand you more deeply. And thank you to you all for listening, for giving us your time to tune into this. I think it's a really important time for us to share this conversation about men, masculinity, understanding men more deeply, perhaps looking a little bit more deeply at the root cause rather than judging men for being bad. Why are we behaving badly? And I hope we have a little bit more understanding that's the path that we're shown, many of us pick up on anyway, after listening. Next week we carry on, the theme continues and we dive deeper and we go more into this and it gets more beautiful and we wrap things up and we come to some conclusions. So I hope you join us for the last one, and then in the final week of April I'm going to be joined by another man to dive more into some of this stuff and look at the patriarchy, so that will be coming then. But in the meantime, thank you. If you'd like to rate, review, subscribe or follow, as it is now I think on Apple, then I'd be so grateful. Please tag me in if you do anything on social. So it fills me up to know that you're supporting, that people are listening. It makes it really worthwhile. It really does, to know that this is making an impact. So yeah, if you could do that, that would be incredible for me to receive. In the meantime, thank you. We're not far from the end of lockdown now, so I hope everyone is ready in the UK and in London to be able to get a little bit of our lives back. And yeah, let's keep embracing compassion for the journey that we're all on at the moment. Sending lots of love, and thank you so much for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.